Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Aprovecha los deals de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra en grande con nuestras ofertas de esta temporada, como 25% de descuento en árboles de Navidad artificiales preiluminados selectos. Además, antes del corre-corre de Black Friday, obtén gratis herramientas selectas DeWalt, Cobalt o Craftsman cuando compras una batería o un kit selecto. Porque, seamos honestos, lo gratis nos encanta. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos, tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12-3 hasta agotar existencia. Selección varía por lugar.
Significant snaps. He is 4-1. He lost a playoff game where other people also self-destructed.
More from Tomlin Rudolph with Aaron Rodgers. He's going to be given every chance to start. Friday is going to be the key day for him. Tomlin came out and said all he needs is mental reps because he's experienced. Yes, Chris?
This is probably the easiest point that you and I both missed there. I asked you the question. Neither of us actually came around to saying it. People in the YouTube chat just saying he's praising him because he thinks he's going to need him more and more potentially.
How about he's praising him too because he doesn't turn the ball over and Mike's obsessed with that.
That's another might one be that too. Although I would feel like he had at least one turnover worthy play in that game. But that's
here is Tomlin on how they'll get Rudolph ready, even though the expectation is Rodgers will probably start.
Those conversations happen before we get in stadium. They generally happen weekly toward the latter part of the week, Friday and Saturday. He'll get time with Arthur and highlight some things within the plan that best suit his skill set, the things that he sees with great clarity relative to who we're competing against. When you get in game and you're faced with elevating him, it's simply a continuation of some of those things with the focus on what's transpiring in game. That's the nature of the conversation.
All right, so even when the starter's healthy and 100%, the offensive coordinator on Saturday still goes over with the backups the things in the game plan that he likes and doesn't like. That's smart. Probably doesn't take, like, too much time. And maybe there are some coaches that are superstitious. Like, if you're doing that much work with the backup,
you're going to end up needing them.
Yeah, that's kind of living in your fears maybe a little bit.
I just think that's good preparation.
But I think that's, yeah, you'd rather be safe than sorry there.
Yeah, that seems boilerplate.
All right, here is what all this means for Will Howard.
Will Howard now potentially closer to playing time. Will he get any reps with the first team this week in practice?
We'll see. We'll see where the week goes.
What have you noticed from him?
He's been with us the whole time, and so he's a sharp guy. Like the general trajectory of his work, he's certainly in the position that he's in, doesn't get a lot of quote-unquote stealer reps, but the reps that he does get, he is taking advantage of, and I'm sure there'll be an uptick in those opportunities this week.
Howard did get a little dart from Tomlin in the press conference when he he's going to do is be Caleb Williams in practice.
It was a dart,
but not really the right guy to be mimicking Caleb Williams.
It was a dart, but more of a, I thought that was a bit of a joking one, and it was more of a praising of Caleb Williams having a pretty unique skill set. Like was that off of the question where he got asked that? I actually thought it was a pretty good question because it could have been a lazy
but
one and
still,
wasn't.
Caleb Williams is a mobile quarterback.
I know, but he was talking about like the physical gifts. He was like the arm talent. It was when somebody I think said he's not Lamar Jackson, but he is mobile, even though they're very different players. And in the course of explaining how you prep for that, he just said, I don't think Will's going to be able to give us a very good look at how Caleb Williams plays the position, which is true, by the way, because I think he's extremely physically talented. More so than Howard.
All right, this I thought was...
Barber Football Focus disagrees, by the way.
Oh, absolutely. I thought this was pretty eye-opening. Mike Tomlin with Will Graves on Jaylen Warren getting put on ice in the second half. We all assumed it was because he had a bad ankle, right?
Jaylen Warren cleared to return on Sunday?
He was.
Sequence there right at the end of the quarter where he was on the field.
Correct.
And then you guys called timeout and he came off the field and then he didn't come back in the rest of the game. Is that a coaching decision based on, was it protecting him or feeling that Gainwell was?
He was cleared to play. He was willing to play. We just thought Kenny was doing a good job. Those are decisions that we make in game sometimes. It's not totally up to the player's will or the expert medical device. It's about who gives us the best chance to win. And certainly at that point in the game, based on what we've seen, things were going well with Kenny. Things were less than ideal with Jalen. And so we stuck with the hot hand.
Okay, so in the end, I guess Tomlin was right because Gainwell was one of the Steelers' best players in that game. But it speaks yet again to the contrast between, say, what I and what fans think of Jalen Warren and evidently what Tomlin thinks of him. He was cleared to play. He could have played. And they just sat him in the second half for Gainwell the rest of the game.
Well, it sounds like they were going to put him out there and then thought better of it.
Yeah. Even.
Like they got close to it and then got cold feet.
It's
for putting
not
him back
an injury
in.
Thing. It was a coach's decision. And before he was even...
Or was it an injury thing and it just the fact that he was a little gimpy, maybe, and the fact that Gainwell was playing well made them change their minds on the fly, which wouldn't be illegal. You're allowed to just decide to do something else when you have an
right,
extra second
I mean,
or two to think
of it. Right, but I mean, if
you
think that a guy's a clear-cut number one running back and he's cleared to play, you probably at least work him in somewhat. I mean, Tomlin said of Warren, the reason why we don't play him on three downs is because he needs a blow and he needs rest and all those things, and yet that didn't apply to Gainwell in the second half of the game. So I guess, like, if I want to read into this, we shouldn't be surprised if Gainwell plays more than Warren Sunday in Chicago.
A soft job split here. Kind of a soft launch of a job split or a job share. Gainwell does, he doesn't run the same way, but whereas Warren, I think, just like hits people and makes them miss and does all that, I feel like Gainwell, when I watch him catch a ball in space, I feel like I can guarantee that he's going to get the most yards possible in that given scenario. Not with like spectacular running pony, but with just hit the hole that's there and get the most out of it. I think Tomlin probably loves that.
Tomlin asked about Ja'Marr Chase's one-game suspension. I think the question's in here from Joe Rutter.
I was aware. I certainly talked to Jalen in-game. It's an unfortunate incident. It's not an act that's common to the game of football. It's nothing to do with football. I'm not going to comment on it. The NFL office rendered their judgment, and so we're moving on.
So he called it an unfortunate situation and said it's uncommon to football. That's trying to...
Do we have his more strong comment?
Oh, we do. Here it is when he goes back and forth with Will Graves later. A lot of that back and forth with Will Graves.
Ramsey plays with an edge. I mean, he has his whole career. When something like that happens on Sunday, because the play before, they had to be separated. Was your message to him to try to simply remove himself from that stuff? And how do you, as a competitor, how do you sort of keep him from sort of...
I have no message if someone spits in your face. Do what comes natural.
Which is a stark contrast from what he said after the game.
Sounds like once he actually saw the video after being otherwise just told of it and believing his players, he's given Ramsey a pass there.
But you're still not.
Yeah, I mean, my God, have you heard the things I've said about Tomlin's other answers? Of course I'm going to stay, like, offside from him or opposite from him on this one. I still think you got to give the guy a chance or you got to be the cooler head there. Although I can tell you what, he respected Chase a lot coming into this game, how good he was. Something tells me Mike's going to try in future pressers where the Bengals are the opponent to minimize Ja'Marr Chase as much as he can.
All right, last but not least, we have Mike Tomlin snapping at Brooke Pryor.
Tale as old as time.
Tends to be a weekly occurrence. Let's hear the latest edition of that.
Mike, do you get a sense that Aaron especially wants to play this week, given who the opponent is and his familiarity?
Aaron always wants to play. Opponent has nothing to do with it. It's his love affair with the game of football. Mm.
Brooks, don't even let her finish the question,
Brooks'
Mike.
Question
Kool-Aid
is...
Kool-Aid man your way in there and shoot it down.
Yeah, that's a thou doth protest too much and too quickly. Brooks exactly right. She knows exactly what's going on here. He knows she knows, and so he's trying to squash a bug with a sledgehammer.
Time for the Hawk Report. It's the baby hawk. At 5:15, make the smart call to the Buell Insurance Agency, 724-443-5610. Our 93.7 The Fan Steelers Insider, 93.7thefan.com. Jeff Hathorn here in studio with us. He'll also be hosting Double Duty tonight from 6 to 10:35. All right, Jeff, one of the things I wanted to do here, because we don't usually talk to you on a Tuesday, is let listeners get an idea for how the sausage gets made on these Tomlin press conferences. And I think there's some myths out there and some conspiracy theories that fans have. I see them, like when Tomlin's talking live on the YouTube
Are we going to do fact or fiction here about Tomlin pressers?
We can do some of that. Does Mike Tomlin know in advance what you guys are going to ask?
No, does not. Does not ask. Does not probably care. He walks in normally about 20 seconds before it starts, and there's most times no conversation. It's just him looking ahead, waiting for the cue. Occasionally I'll make a joke of like, when's Bob going to shut up so we can get on with the show? But other than that, no, there's no conversation.
Has Mike's demeanor in these press conferences changed for the negative over the years? Was he previously more, not jovial, but more, I guess, convivial with you guys?
I think early
Donnie, is convivial hour coming up later?
Yeah,
well, Jeff's doing the show. Well, I think Jeff's going to do that.
Yeah,
at,
what hour is convivial hour?
11.
Thank you. Right after you're off the air.
Yes. I think early in the year, like the first one of training camp, he's kind of upbeat. In a decent mood. You know, he hasn't talked to us in a long time, and then it doesn't take long for him to get tired of us. I mean, he doesn't like – well, I mean, what coach likes to do that? And Mike just wants to coach football. He doesn't like any of the other stuff.
So. The irony being he despises the media asking him questions and him having to answer, and yet – if there's anything anyone believes he'll do post-Steelers, it's collect about $18 million more per year to go work in the media, which means every coach that he talks to in a production meeting should be openly hostile to him at that point.
Jeff.
Sorry, I'm just on my soapbox today.
You really are.
Yeah.
He was completely full of crap here because, like, I don't know. This isn't even a question about how the sausage is made. He's asked about Darius Slay and whether James Pierre has done enough to earn more playing time. Nah, Darius Slay will get his job back. Why? He sucks.
Veterans get their jobs back.
Why? Unless veterans they're Tommy Maddox, which obviously wasn't a Mike decision. Jobs back.
Especially veterans that he brought in get their jobs back.
Like, here's I guess, how the sausage is made. Why isn't there a question that follows up that answer that Slay will get his job back with just why does Darius Slay get his job back?
A question like someone else. One of the things that's annoying about a news conference like that from our perspective is like you follow up sometimes don't get asked because somebody wants to jump in with their question. So there isn't the normal follow up. So a couple questions later, there was a question about Pierre, but it wasn't right after because someone else had jumped
in. Are very direct, blunt questions, for lack of a better word, discouraged in any way, tacitly or otherwise? Because I noticed that when, like, I'll use Ashley Liotis as an example, she often catches him seemingly flat-footed with questions that are very direct. Like this one was, what was it? Has Rodgers been cleared to play? And Mike, I would say to his credit, Jeff, answers them when they happen. I just don't hear a ton of them on most weeks when they could be asked.
I think there's two things at play there. I think one is sometimes people just ramble on with the question, which they shouldn't, and they do, and Ashley's question was right on. I mean, just get right at it. And I think another thing is if you give Mike Tomlin an out of a yes or no question, a lot of times he'll take it. So you try to think of a way to ask it to where he can't say yes or no.
Do you guys work together on that?
No.
So you guys don't, as reporters, like game plan out how?
No.
Okay, who's going to ask this question?
Because everyone's working at a different angle.
Now, there might be times before a news conference where we know what the questions are going to be, and then we'll kind of joke, like, who's going to shout over who to be able to get this question? Or you know that there's a sensitive one that you want to ask towards the end because there's other things you want to get in before you know his mood's going to turn. So it's you kind of wait, and then occasionally somebody will kind of jump in earlier.
Do reporters get a slap on the wrist if they ask a question Mike doesn't like? Not just in terms of like a terse answer, but do you guys hear back from the Steelers or Tomlin about something he didn't appreciate in a press conference setting?
I mean, no.
No?
No.
There's no feedback on that.
You'll know from his reaction. Like, it's not like a guess.
I mean, what kind of questions do you think he prefers?
Direct.
So he respects people who have the, I don't want to say guts because it's not that, but people who just cut right to the point.
I mean, he doesn't want opinionated questions. He wants, if you know what I'm saying.
Nuts and bolts.
The leading questions. Ask a question.
So he would have respected
him. He doesn't like the ones, and you guys know this because you listen to all of them. He doesn't like the ones that are leading in or speculating or trying to have him give a hypothetical answer.
So if he had been asked about this, like, for example, just so I understand this right, He gets asked whether Slay will get his job back, and he says he will. If he had been immediately, if the follow-up had instantly been why, he would have respected that, even if it sounded almost challenging. Just why Slay over Pierre?
Yeah.
Like, no exposition,
but
I think, no,
but if
like...
He thought, but if my take on that is, if he thought it was, like, questioning him as a coach, he might have given it a one-word answer.
He may have. It's unfortunate in that setting because Tomlin's best one-on-one. Because you can talk to him and you can ask the follow-ups and he has
you
an
mean
idea
off
of
the
where
record?
You're coming. No, no, no. Even
on, the
even on, but no one gets...
Yeah, you
besides
can't do that.
Pomp, no one gets an opportunity.
We're going to talk about that.
Right. I mean... Because he understands kind of the demeanor of where you're coming from when you have those settings. Or at an owner's meeting situation where there's a whole bunch of people around.
Yeah.
He's not in a controlled room. He's a lot better in those.
One of the things you hear a lot from Steelers fans is, and I'm sure you get it, Jeff, you guys don't ask enough tough questions.
Yep.
Why don't you guys go in there and ask more tough questions? So what is your like stock answer on that when you hear that from fans?
I think there's... It's a long season. So if you go and ask, why does the offense suck? The next time you ask a question, fairly or unfairly, that's going to be in the back of anyone's mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the guy who came in and said, Kenny Pickett's getting the hell beat out of him.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Whatever happened to that guy?
He hasn't.
Tank.
So apparently he hasn't been banned from coming, but he just realizes he's not going to get anything from the head coach.
Interesting.
So he doesn't come.
I've noticed
he made his one shot count.
By the way, like as a side, but on this same like conversation, I feel like a lot of people who I would expect to either be at Tomlin press conferences or ask questions at Tomlin press conferences aren't there anymore. I feel like Kabali hasn't asked a question to Tomlin since Halloween.
Yeah, because Mark's always there for coordinators, and he may be right. I don't.
You know. Like, what happened to the TV people? Remember, Jory Rand used to get in there and really ruffle
with Tomlin. I think the 27 Yankees for Tomlin was David Todd, Jory Rand, David Klinger, or Jacob Klinger. I'm sorry. I even fell victim to your
I throw
game.
Aditi in there, too.
Shumway would show up.
But, I mean, when...
Yeah, you're right. The news TV station people don't show up anymore.
I always thought he had more respect for the news people. Like, when Shumway would occasionally
some
ask
gravitas?
A news, newsy question, I felt like Mike was almost like, oh, you're not... You're a news guy.
Well, and you guys know, I mean, people may not realize this, but the PR staff kind of has a run-through with Tomlin. Like, here's some of the things you're going
to
be at.
Here's
okay,
what's out
that's
there.
Actually an interesting thing to bring
here's
up.
Here's what's out there in the media. Here's what people are tweeting.
So Tomlin gets a heads up from them before every press conference.
He's a briefing, yeah. Like a one-sheeter.
Not from Donnie, but from somebody else. He gets a debrief of, here are the things, here are the topics. Here's what you're probably going to be asked. And, it, you know, if Shumway or somebody else were to come, then they would probably know, okay, there this happened in the news. You're going to be asked about it, and then he'll
You know what I would have liked in a very slick, sly way to ask him about today if I were there and I was just like said, screw it? And I would have prefaced the question this way to really mess with him. I would have said, hey, Mike, since you seem to want to talk about other teams' players and moves, like when you commented on Joe Flacco getting traded to the Bengals, I'm just curious, what do you think of the season George Pickens is having in Vegas and in Dallas so far this year?
No comment would have been pretty quick coming
I don't
back.
Know about that.
Yeah. And I will tell
I don't
you,
know about that, Chris. I think he might have said I don't think he would have said like we screwed the pooch here, we made a bad trade.
I think the answer could have been first word blank, second word you, third word pony.
No, I don't think he can't do that.
No, he can't say that.
My opinion, if he got asked a question like that, he can't come off as hostile about it, I don't think, because I think that's going to make him look bad on that deal. I think he's got to have some kind of like deference to, I think he's got to give Pickens credit for having a good season somewhere else. I do. What do you think, Jeff? I think he'd have to acknowledge it. I don't think he'd go on and on about it, but I think he would just say, look, we're worried about our own players, but we acknowledge George is having a good season with Dallas. Period.
Yeah, maybe something like we wish George all the best, or hey, good for him. It would be something short, curt, and that I'm not going to expound on. And I will tell you guys this: like, I'll listen back to Tomlin's and I'll be like, I should have asked something this way, or think about what I could have asked in a scenario. There isn't one that goes by where I don't think about something I could have, should have, or that something was asked in a way that prevented us from following up because of the way the question was asked.
Who's Mike's all-time press conference nemesis? If Mike had, if the Steeler, like, who is the New England Patriots with Brady and Belichick?
Aditi.
You really think so?
Man, I always, or is that because he felt like he could just squash the David Todd time management stuff?
I thought it was Jory.
Oh, Jory.
Man, listen, it's not like she's in a room by herself. Jory would be in that room. Todd, sometimes Ben's, but I think in a way.
I think he respects Ben's.
He does respect.
I think Ben's. Because Ben's questions.
Because Ben's is there all the time.
Are very thoughtful, too. They're challenging sometimes, but I think Tim puts a lot of thought into them.
Jory was
openly trying to antagonize, which I almost respected.
He will look in the room and kind of, I don't know if he's taken attendance, but I think he knows who's there on a daily basis.
I think he respects this guy over here because he's been in post-game pressers and Tomlin will give him real answers. When Pony does his like one game a year where he'll travel to the game, I've heard Mike give him real answers. Maybe not the most expansive, but they're real.
Yeah, Jeff's just making a face here because he doesn't want to say what's probably really going on behind the scenes. And I respect
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Apúrate que se acaban las ofertas de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra hasta 50% en electrodomésticos selectos y hasta 25% extra en combos de electrodomésticos selectos. Y como la Navidad ya se siente, ahorra $4 en luces LED de 100 bombillas en hilera GE. Ahora a solo $5.98. Lowe's, nosotros ayudamos. Tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12/3. Selección varía por tienda. Solo en tiendas selectas hasta agotar existencias. Detalles en Lowe's.com.
And for a PM team name game, and this segment is sponsored by Mike's Beer Bar. The fan beer of the month is Jackworth Hard Ginger Beer, supports the National Alliance of Mental Illness. All right, here's how it works, guys, if you're uninitiated to the name game. We have two categories. One is sports, and one is usually non-sports. Joel Nelson officiates. The category comes up.
Nelly, you can look at my screen real quick.
We go around the room until someone gets an answer wrong.
Or we clear out a category, which has still never happened. Nelly's got mic skirts falling on his laptop.
When you get it wrong, you get a point, and we've tabulated and kept track of this all year.
17 losses for me. That's last place. 14 for Donnie. Second place. 13, but on a 2-game losing streak for Pony.
Yeah. All right, what is category number one today, Nell?
Members of the 1985 Super Bowl winning Chicago Bears.
I do like that the sports ones
do
have
coaches
remained.
Count?
Players.
Okay.
I should have specified, sorry.
Players. All right, Pony, you lost then. You start, right?
No, it's always the person who's the low man on the totem pole, so that's you.
Okay.
There should be a freebie.
Yeah, I'll take Walter Payton.
Walter Payton.
You don't have to check it. I know it's right. I'm
the Nelly announcement of when you get a pick right, and sometimes the announcement he makes when you get it wrong sounds just like when you get it right, Donnie. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, he's got a deadpan delivery.
He's on the list at 34, four spots below.
The Martavis Bryant one where he goes, oh yeah, he's on there, 37th. We're looking for the top 36. If he's doing like a subtle heel host role, it's one of the greatest bits in history.
William the Refrigerator Perry.
Don't need to check it, Nelly.
Next.
Oh, okay. No sale right
next.
There.
Jim McMahon.
Yeah.
How's he doing health-wise right now?
Not great, but he's still alive.
So. Richard Dent.
Yes, sir.
Jimbo Covert.
Yes, sir. Pitt.
From Freedom, PA.
Steve Mongo McMichael.
Yes, sir.
Mike Singletary.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Dave Duerson.
D-U-E.
Yes, sir. Yep, he's on here.
Yeah.
Willie Gault.
Yes, sir. Listed as kick returner.
Members of the 1985 Bears.
Tom Waddle.
Common spelling for Waddle, correct?
W-A-D-D-L-E.
Nothing's popping up.
Yes! Yes! Survive and advance,
that was big,
baby.
Because I was tapped.
Give me one more name.
Oh.
Because I'll be real mad. Wait, what was that noise you just made?
Well, I looked up when he played for the Bears.
And?
Pro Football Reference says 89 to 94.
Well, then I'm a dumbass. Brad Muster, would that have worked? M-U-S-T-E-R.
Brad Musburger.
Muster, no.
Okay.
How about Leslie Frazier?
I was just about tapped then, honestly. Another loss for the
Leslie
idiot.
Leslie Frazier. Yeah.
How about Jeff Fisher?
Jeff Fisher.
Here we go. Pony's going to name every guy.
How about Matt Suey, Pride of Penn State?
Yes, sir.
Oh, wasn't Kevin Butler their kicker? God, you stupid son of a...
Kevin Butler.
How about Keith Van Horn? Not the basketball player.
Yeah, Van Horn. Yep.
All right. That was fun.
Oh, yeah. It was
everybody
awesome.
But Malsy.
I was tapped after old Willie Gault, so...
You son of a...
And I knew if it got back to Pony, I was toast.
All right, what's the next one?
I just can't keep losing like this.
You're right.
Top 30 most populated U.S. cities.
Oh, I mean, we might as well concede this one to this guy over here, because Malsy always...
Mr.
could actually
Geography.
Name the top 150.
And I had Johnny fooled. I said Djibouti.
I did fool him with that. Man, he was disappointed.
He thought it would be Denmark.
All right, go ahead, Mr. Geography B-winner.
I'm going to start with one you guys probably haven't heard of, New York.
Pony.
Los Angeles.
Donnie.
Houston, Texas.
Yes, sir.
Chicago.
Yes, sir. Here's your top four.
Philly.
Yes, sir.
I'll go San Francisco.
San Francisco.
Yeah, it's there.
Yeah.
Dallas.
Dallas, yes.
Crap. Oh, no. Oh, Boston.
Yeah, Boston.
Miami.
Boston is 25.
Jeez, I barely got that one in,
what are we
guys.
Doing?
What did you say?
Top 30.
Miami.
It says 42.
Yes! Malsy!
Which is shocking.
Well, hold on. I think
Let's
I know why.
Go, Malsy!
This is one of those deals where, like, the city like, itself, about, like, Indianapolis is on here and
yes,
Miami's not.
Like, the metro
the city,
part.
Yeah,
yes!
Miami's
it's
metro,
the metro
population.
Part.
Like, Phoenix would have been one. Indianapolis, yeah. Columbus.
Phoenix?
Like, I bet you...
Phoenix was five.
Yeah,
Phoenix
is gigantic.
Five.
Yeah.
Denver's on there.
Holy
Minneapolis
smokes.
Got to be on there. Denver for sure.
Denver, 19.
Minneapolis has to be.
Minneapolis, 46.
Really?
No. Yeah. Detroit. Detroit Rock City.
Is it now?
Detroit, 26.
It's up there. Jeez.
There's got to be a bunch of weird ones.
How about San Antonio?
Austin, too.
San Antonio, 7.
7?
Yeah, it's growing. But it's how they're zoned. Like, Jacksonville's probably on here.
No
and
way.
Limits was 12.
Limits.
Tampa.
Jacksonville, 10.
See, I told
Man,
you.
Jacksonville's huge.
Tampa would have been 49.
Wow. Yeah, it's how they track city. I bet you there's a bunch of random ones like Riverside, California and
Donnie,
stuff
you
like
got
that.
Screwed, man.
San Diego.
So
I wasn't really in my wheelhouse there. I just thought of
Donnie. The point is not that you got screwed; it's that he keeps dodging the Reaper every damn time.
Not true at all. I got two wrong last week.
El Paso, 23.
El Paso. Yeah. Where the heck's Pittsburgh?
San Jose,
it's not in there.
Oh, San Jose, 13.
Pittsburgh city population, like, I think, is less than Toledo now.
I looked it up earlier.
Less than Toledo?
I think we're only like 250 or 300.
We're a metropolitan statistical area where it's 2.3 million, but the actual city of Pittsburgh, how they measure this, is 300,000, if that. Jacksonville City is the entire Duval County. That's how they count it.
Duval.
And so Jacksonville, even though it's doesn't have the number of people Pittsburgh does, is counted as one gigantic area.
So why do we think
Miami
Atlanta's
would be
so
one.
Low?
Because it's Miami, Fort Lauderdale, Sunrise, all these like technically separate cities.
Yeah, I guess that's right.
Hialeah, Florida.
Oh, you can't forget about Hialeah.
Among Florida, so Jacksonville 10, Miami 42.
Wait, Nelly, you never gave us Pittsburgh, pal.
I looked it up earlier today. It's like in the 60s.
Jeez. Yeah.
Wow.
Donnie, I feel like you kind of... I feel like that's
Pardon
a
me?
Tough beat.
DC's got to be on there.
Yeah, it was 22.
That was a gettable one, Don. DC.
I guess I can't be too mad about the Bears.
Like 11 was Fort Worth.
I
These
knew that.
Texas cities are blowing up, man.
It's just how they're zoned. It's how they're zoned and how they're tracked.
All right, that was a PM team name game.
I don't feel good and confident going into this tonight at Rival.
What do you mean?
I don't.
We're only as strong as our weakest link, and you're
and I'm
saying that?
Weak and stupid. There you go. I mean, just plain and simple.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Aprovecha los deals de Early Black Friday en Lowe's. Ahorra en grande con nuestras ofertas de esta temporada como 25% de descuento en árboles de Navidad artificiales preiluminados selectos. Además, antes del corre-corre de Black Friday, obtén gratis herramientas selectas de DeWalt, Cobalt o Craftsman cuando compras una batería o un kit selecto. Porque, seamos honestos, lo gratis nos encanta. Lowe's. Nosotros ayudamos. Tú ahorras. Válido hasta 12/3 hasta agotar existencia. Selección varía por lugar.